Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-hosts. I have Tammy Haldeman and Tom Turbrock. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Good afternoon, you two.
If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. We are broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios.
And they look beautiful as always.
They do. They do. Well, guys, at our house, I feel like I'm constantly playing tech support with all of our kids on the computer.
Amen.
So I wanted to invite in an expert when it comes to not only technology, but also the security that surrounds that. So I want to welcome to the studio. We have Scott Schaefer from Blade Technologies. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Glad you're here.
What a voice, too.
This good to be here.
This is good.
Yeah. The amount of time we spend kicking viruses off of our kids' computers. Mm-hmm. We have a little computer lab set up in one of our rooms. And it gets extreme sometimes. So I wanted to get you on here and talk about some good computing habits, email security, and that type of thing.
Yeah, you got it. And, you know, viruses are the one thing. When you start thinking about computer security at home, it's the one thing that first jumps to mind. And actually, nowadays, we don't even call them viruses. We call it malware, right? Mal being bad, ware from, like, software. So right. That's what we call it, or anti-malware, because it's a lot more than just viruses. There's worms and Trojans and all these nasty things.
Man.
And you know, you just have to watch out for them. And as a home user, that's probably the number one recommendation I give people, is have some sort of anti-malware software in place. And you have to make sure, and this is really important, Doug, you got to make sure you keep it up to date, because anti-malware scanners use essentially a dictionary. So it watches all the data go boop, 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 boop over your wire, and it compares it against the dictionary. If it finds a match, it says virus quarantine. But if it's got a very old dictionary, it's not going to be able to catch the newer viruses. And
right, they need the Urban Dictionary.
Absolutely, right.
The Urban Dictionary with all the new terms.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what you have to look out for. And another thing you want to do, hand in hand with that too, Doug, is you want to back up that data. Because there's some nasty worms and viruses and Trojans and all that stuff out there that can either delete your data. There's some out there that actually format your hard drive, maybe. The one we're seeing the most out there is something called a CryptoLocker, which we can talk about in a second. And that one is extremely nasty, so you have to look out for. But again, you can be completely safe. Keep your anti-malware up to date.
Okay, so when you talked about backing up data, what are the best methods to do that? Because some people, you know, you can back up online in the cloud. You can back up to an external hard drive. What do you see as the best method?
Right. Great question, because there's so many different ways to do it. You can use a USB drive. You can back it up to tape. That's what all the businesses still do. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned an online cloud backup. A lot of people are a little queasy about that because it goes out to the web and you could have some things and that people could see. Well, not really. Everything's encrypted end-to-end, so you're in pretty good shape there. Not to say that the NSA or somebody like that could get in the middle and grab a piece or two.
Right. But NSA is going to get what they want to get.
Sure. Exactly. So discounting them.
They already have it before it even went online.
You're right. But, you know, once it gets up in the cloud, it's safe forever generally. Then you don't have to worry about, for a lot of people that just use an external hard disk set next to your computer at home, that's great. But what if your home burns down?
Right.
Takes out your backup, too. So cloud-based stuff, way to go. Some of it pretty cheap. You're looking at $50, $60 a year for unlimited data storage. So you can't beat it.
What are some cloud services that you'd recommend?
One I've used in the past is one called Carbonite, which is a good one. You can find that at carbonite.com. I believe they have a 30-day free eval that you can try out. Works out great. I also use something called CrashPlan. That's another one. And that one's, you know, can also be used in a small business because it has some capabilities where you could have multiple computers back up to one computer and then that one computer backs up to the cloud. So you kind of have a two-staged approach with that. So, you know, the bottom line is what you want to think about. And people say $50 a year, I'm not going to spend that. How much is your data worth? That's the question you want to ask yourself.
A lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a lot.
Very a nice. Lot.
We encourage businesses I work with to you know, make that determination. Okay. Because business is a little bit more expensive to do that, maybe $1,000 a year. But do you think your accounting database is worth $1,000? For most people, yes.
Worth more than that.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Scott Schaefer from Blade Technology. So, Scott, talking about the good computing habits, talking about backing up data. What about organizing your data?
Yep. That's really important because a lot of times I work with users and they say, I just had that Word document open and now I can't find it. We get people calling our help desk, those types of questions. And what we always find is people are just storing things willy-nilly. You never know where you're going to find something. Right?
I heard that word.
That's true.
That's a good word. Willy-nilly is a good term.
I tell you what, it's the right word for this situation.
But yes. It does. It
we
is
have that
word
not all in one spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You got to have an organization. Think about, mm-hmm. Think about, let's say you have a lot of books in a library, right?
Right.
Yep. You're going to organize those books or you're not going to be able to find them. So there's a lot of ways to do that. Some people set up a simple hierarchy and then they search within it. But the key is whatever you find that works for you, use some sort of organization. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a lot of time looking for things and not finding them.
Right. And know how to use Control F.
Yeah, absolutely. That always helps. Yeah. And there's some other search programs, too, that you bring up, Doug. You can get that are add-ins. So instead of having to search, instead of having to dig through folders, you can just do a search, like a Google search, on your computer. And it'll help you that way. And that technology is fairly robust nowadays, but it kind of is a different paradigm for a lot of people to wrap their head around.
It kind of scares me a little bit. So explain to me, how safe is that?
Well, it's safe because if you do a search engine on your local computer, that data actually doesn't go up to Google.
Okay.
I use a program. There's one called X1, for example, that just runs all the time. It indexes all my email, my OneNote notes that we were talking about, Doug, and my documents and everything. And then if I need to find something, I can just type a query into this little box, and it pops up all the hits. Works really good, especially if you have to deal with a lot of documents. In my practice, I deal with a lot of lawyers. And I don't know, Doug, these might be the only professionals that have more paper to shove.
More paper than the mortgage business.
Sure, exactly. So these guys have so much paper to deal with. So, and a lot of the files are named like case number 0256. You don't know what's inside this thing.
No.
Right.
And so that's when we want to use
opening and closing. Opening and closing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's when we use a search engine, a local search engine, to index everything and be able to get it back really fast.
Well, and then when it comes to cleaning up your hard disk, and Tammy, you've been pretty good about this, always.
Yep.
Cleaning up your hard disk.
Yes.
What do you recommend with that? And what do you mean by cleaning up your hard disk?
Oh, okay, good question. What you want to do is, some people have the philosophy of keeping all the data that you have forever. And other people say... data hoarders.
Yep.
Other people say, once I'm done with it, I'm deleting it. Okay, two different philosophies. Whichever way that you go with this, you want to make sure that you do simple things, like empty your trash. And you know, Doug, when you empty your trash, that file's gone forever, right?
Maybe.
No, it's not. Because what people need to understand, when you just empty out that recycle bin, it's akin to taking a book, right? And a book has all these chapters within it, and at the very end, there's an index. So if I took the index page out of the index that had something you're looking for, the chapter's still in the book, right? You just can't find it. So part of my practice, I do a lot of forensic science, so we can use certain tools. That data is still there, all the ones and zeros. And we can go in there and carve that file back out and retrieve that data.
Okay, so it's just essentially the same thing you see with a CSI where you've had a hard drive burned and somebody's going in to try to recover the data.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, just like CSI, we do it in about 15 minutes. No. Like 4 or 5 months.
No, right.
Yeah, a little harder than that, isn't it?
I got it. It's like, TV.
Right, so you mentioned earlier CryptoLocker.
CryptoLocker.
Explain that, because that was one that I actually had not heard of.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one is a new type of Trojans, malware, that does something that's very nasty. It gets on your computer via an email attachment that you opened up, and you probably shouldn't have, or a malicious website that you went to, probably one you shouldn't have went to. And you get this on your computer, and what it does, it digs through everything. It looks for all your documents, your email files, archives, everything it can find, and it encrypts them, right? And what am I mean
against
by...
Against your will.
Yeah, against your will, they encrypt these things. And this is not, with a 5-word password. It's 128-bit encryption, which is industry strength. There's no way you could spend a billion years trying to guess this password. Not going to happen. So you're basically being held for ransom. So the only option is, and the thieves are kind enough to pop up a box at that point and say, hey, you want your files unlocked? No problem. Give me $500 and we'll send you the decryption key.
Wow. So they literally hold your files hostage.
Yes.
They encrypt your files. You want them back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be $500.
Yep. And what's really cool, Doug, if you have a problem, they have tech support right there. You can call up the bad guys and talk to them on the phone.
Organized crime tech support.
Exactly. Isn't that something?
What country is that coming from, do you think?
Well, it's probably, let's say it's like a little bit east of Poland somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to say, but if you had your data backed up on the cloud,
that's
then
right.
you wouldn't have to worry.
It's
about
a beautiful
it.
Thing. And a lot of times we see people go back over the backup discussions after this has happened. And that's the smart thing. Do it before. Don't be reactive. Be proactive about these things. And, you know, get out there. Have a good cloud-based backup to avoid it. You know, there's I know of at least a dozen police departments, for example, that have got hit with this.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? All 12 of them.
That's not good.
Nope. All 12 of them gave up the ransom. They didn't have a choice.
Well, and if you're thinking about your home computer, you know, if it's just one of our home computers like our kids use, I wouldn't pay $500 to get that information
right,
back.
Right, right.
But if it's my work laptop,
sure.
Yeah, I probably would pay the $500.
Sure. And they put a time limit on it too, Doug. It's like, you know, you have 2 days. And after 2 days, it becomes $750.
What about the FBI? Don't they help? Something like that? That's extortion.
Yep, they sure could. If A, they could decrypt your files, which they can't. B, find where this is coming from, which they can't.
Gotcha. And it's in the deep web. Wow. You can't even trace it, right?
And it's another country because the FBI, you know, can't go over there and start hitting people in the head in, like, you know, Belarus or somewhere.
That is so scary stuff, you
it
guys.
It is scary. So now we skimmed over anti-malware, and when we come back, I'd really like to know more about that.
Sure.
Because that I'm confused on what I trust. What do I download, you know?
Well, you're right. And, you know, as when we talk about it, we'll talk a little bit about it. Some of this responsibility is on you as a user. Mm-hmm. You have to do your due diligence.
Okay. All right. We're speaking with Scott Schaefer from Blade Technologies about how to keep your information safe in your home, on your computer, anywhere that you are. You listen to the Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Mortgage at FM News Talk 97.1.
Almost half of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no extra money when bad things happen. If you're involved in an accident and are suddenly faced with medical bills, loss of income, and more expenses, what can you do? The insurance company wants to settle and settle cheap. You need someone on your side. You can trust us to protect your rights. Remember the fours. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.